Amen. I guess there's no announcement this morning. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to Declare Victory. My name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I am your host this morning. Are there any first-time callers that may have called this morning? All righty, then we're all family. There is one online prayer request, and it is from JC. It's for Nanette and Sharon. Pray that God strengthens this mother and daughter relationship. Thanks, prayer warriors. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture reading will be read by Sister Julia. Declaration will be by Pastor Lavelle. First prayer warrior will be Sister Carolyn. Second prayer warrior will be Tiffany. Third prayer warrior will be Sister Angela. And closing us out this morning will be Elder Paulette. I will repeat that. Scripture reading will be by Sister Julia. Declaration by Pastor Lavelle. Prayer warrior number one is Carolyn. Prayer warrior number two is Tiffany. Prayer warrior number three is Angela. And closing us out will be Elder Paulette. If you haven't already done so, please remember to place your call on mute. You can use your standard mute feature or star six or both. Thank you so much for allowing me to greet you and host this morning as I pass the call to Sister Julia. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'll be reading from Psalms 20, chapter 27, verse 11 and 14. Teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thee heart. Wait, I say, unto the Lord. May the Lord add blessed to the work, the reading and hearing, during his word, as I pass the call.
Good morning, everyone. Yet again, God has shown us another expression of his love, another opportunity to be alive. We are in the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living, and I pray this morning that you have stopped just to tell the Lord thank you for one more day. I want to thank Bubbly for greeting and hosting, Sister Julia for that awesome scripture, and those that will come after me, Sister Carolyn, Sister Tiffany, Sister Angela, and Elder Paulette. I want to thank you guys in advance. I want to kind of get started because I have a long day today. I have like five services today and ending up in Sacramento tonight for my pastor, Dr. Claiborne Lee, starting the citywide revival. So I'm going to get started. I'm going to take a little longer on this end than on the question on the love, life, and victory because this is Palm Sunday. And so I want to do a little running commentary on this text today. When you have the time, I'll read the scripture, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And it says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. The text says, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath that's what I want to do a declaration on today. The Lord hath need. The Lord hath need. Let me begin by saying in all of our theological studying, when you come to a statement that says the Lord hath need, I don't know about y'all, but it makes me pause. It really makes me consider perhaps whatever we have thought about God we will have to restate. I'm going to say that again. When you come to a statement that says the Lord hath need, it makes you pause. It makes you stop. It makes you consider perhaps whatever we have thought about God that we're going to have to rethink, because the Bible says, Jesus says, the Lord hath need. Now, the problem with that, if you have grown up with a theological understanding that I have, because I grew up with a theological understanding that God doesn't need my help. Yeah, I was told that growing up in church, that God doesn't need my help. My grandmother, she didn't have great exposition. She didn't know how to put great words together. She didn't matriculate in some institute of high learning. She never dotted all her I's and crossed all her T's. She didn't know words like aseity or anything like that. She would just say it like this: He's God, and He's God all by Himself. And so when I read the scripture that the Lord hath need, it's an amazing theological shift. First of all, that the Lord has need. It's an amazing thing to consider that the Lord would ever need anything in posture or position, that He would literally need anything. And to show you what I'm talking about, I read the psalmist, and Psalm 50 says, according to God, that if I did get hungry, I wouldn't even tell you about it, because the cattle on a thousand hills belong to me. And yet, I read this scripture just a few minutes ago out of the mouth of Jesus: the Lord hath need. When would God need anything? I mean, isn't that the paradox in the ministry of Jesus, that He would be found needing anything? He owned everything. He possessed all things. And everything that was created and spoken into existence by His very word. Watch this. Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Bible says that everything that was created by that Word, which means when God opened up His mouth, out stepped Jesus and created everything. And yet we read in this text, the Lord hath need. I mean, He created stars and yet had no place to lay His own head. Here is one who sanctioned everything out of nothing, and yet when He got ready to preach, He had to borrow a boat. Here is one who created every drop of water, and yet when He dies, we hear Him saying, I thirst. Here is one who created every tree, and yet when He's crucified on an old rugged tree. Here is one who created every rock, hewed out every mountain, but when He got ready to be buried, He had to borrow a tomb in which to hold His body. Here is one who created all things, even the clouds, and yet He had to borrow clouds in order to get back to heaven, took clouds as His chariot on Mount Olive. Here is one who possessed all things, and yet hear Him say, the Lord hath need. I mean, when you consider Jesus, I mean, he was rich, and yet He made Himself poor. He owned all things, and yet He emptied Himself, and He came into this world, slipped in through the back door of His own creation, slipping into Bethlehem's barn, and there He was omnipotent, cradled in a feeding trough, all of God wrapped in swaddling clothes. All of the Almighty placed in a barn. The infinite has become an infant. He who has stars swirled at His word. He had an angelic antiphonal affirmation showed up at the day he was born. I mean, they were literally singing and praising God over him, and yet listen to him. In the last week before the cross, the Lord hath need. Everything that Jesus used in ministry, it was borrowed. I'll say that again. Everything that Jesus used in ministry, it was borrowed. For instance, he got ready to come into the world. He had to borrow a body. When he came into the world, he had to borrow the womb of a peasant girl named Mary. Came in, had to borrow a stepfather named Joseph. Came into the world, and he borrowed everything that he had. Whatever he used, he borrowed. He owned everything, and yet he owned nothing. The Lord hath need. And I don't mean no harm this morning, and I don't want to bother anybody, but I reminded some preachers just the other week that everything that we've got in ministry, it's all borrowed. And that's why we should never hold these churches too tight. We ought not hold these titles too tight. We ought not hold our degrees too tight, our ordination certificates too tight, because the truth is everything we got is borrowed. And I keep hearing people suggest that some people are have been plagiarizing, that we've been preaching other stuff too often. Well, this morning, I want to admit that every time I preach somebody else's stuff. And I came to admit that I always preach somebody else's stuff, and it's called Isaiah, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I mean, I'm always preaching somebody else's stuff. To show you what I'm talking about is because everything I got is borrowed. And so that's why even in our churches, y'all, we really ought to quit acting like you own them. You ought to quit acting like you in charge, because the truth of the matter is that if you got a title or an office or a position, it's borrowed. And if you don't believe it's borrowed, you just get too high on yourself, literally thinking it's about you. God knows how to take it from you and show you that it's borrowed. So I was at work in Alberta some time ago, and I never tried to get. It was a Monday, and I was I had parked the garbage truck, and I pulled over to the side of the road to talk on the phone, and as I pulled over, I pulled close to this fence, and as I pulled over, there was this animal that literally walked up to my truck, and the animal began to look at me and stare at me kind of sideways. And if you know anything about Sacramento, Alberta, Rio Linda, you can find pretty much any kind of animal out there. But this particular animal began to look at me sideways, and it was a donkey, y'all. It was a donkey. And here's my parallel, because Jesus borrows a donkey. He borrowed a donkey. I mean, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the Prince of Life. Jesus, this is your triumphal entry into the city. This is your time to shine. And you come riding in on a donkey. An insignificant donkey. Jesus is coming in on something insignificant, a donkey, y'all. Not a white stallion. I mean, he'll do that later. But this time, it's a donkey. He's coming in on the insignificant. And let me just pause this morning on this Palm Sunday to tell somebody on the line today, don't ever throw away anything or anybody just because you think that they're insignificant. Because the people that you think are insignificant are the ones that Jesus calls necessary. Jesus knows how to take the things that we call insignificant and make them necessary for ministry. And that's why we really got to check our attitudes, and we got to quit upping our nose at folks and acting like we're better than folks and acting like we're ignoring everybody, acting like you don't want to be bothered with anybody. with anybody, because the folks you think that you don't want to be bothered with may be the very people that God is going to use to bless your life. The truth of the matter is I might be the one. I mean, while you roll your eyes at them, they might be the one. While you trying to diss them, they might be the one. While you act like you didn't see them, they might be the one. When you don't return their call, they might be the one. I mean, give them a little time. God may want to use them to bless you. That they might be insignificant, but they might be necessary. And so this morning, I really thank God that he still uses the insignificant. So he used a donkey. Watch this. He used a donkey. And the truth of the matter is he still may be using some donkeys. But I praise God that I can get on the list. And, y'all, and it don't matter what your education is. He can still use you. If you don't have a PhD, he can still use you with a GED. If you don't have a summa cum laude, you may not have a magna cum laude, but you got to learn how to lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. So watch this. He got the insignificant, and he rolled in on the insignificant. And he called the insignificant necessary. So he used a donkey. So that's it to me, which means we can learn something from a donkey. And declare victory this morning, we ought to just pause for a moment. And we just ought to just dialogue with this donkey. We ought to dialogue with this donkey this morning. And if y'all don't mind, let's do some donkey talk. Let's do some donkey talk this morning, and let's hear the conversation with the colt that can help us understand how you can become necessary for ministry. Now, what would you say to us, Mr. Donkey, that would help us at least get to the place that you got to, that we could be used by Jesus? Well, the first thing that he would tell us, that if you want to be used by Jesus, the first thing this donkey would tell us is you've got to be redeemed. Well, now, you may not understand this, but I'm going to help you with this morning. This donkey is a redeemed donkey. What are you talking about, Jones? I know he is because I got a text to prove it. Because the Bible teaches us under the Levitical law, Exodus chapter 13, that the firstling of every donkey had to be redeemed with a lamb. This colt, Mark mentions it, but Matthew doesn't. This colt is tied to an older colt. In Matthew's text, it's an ass and a colt. And Matthew tells us that Jesus said, loose both of them so I could use one of them. I'm going to say that again. Because in Matthew's text, it's an ass and a colt. And Matthew tells us that Jesus says, loose both of them so I could use one of them. I'm going to say it a little bit slower. Jesus says, loose both of them so he could use one of them. Jesus says, loose both the ass and the colt. I'm going to use the colt, but you got to loose both so I could use one. And in case you ain't figured it out yet, the reason that the Lord can use some folk like he wants to use them is because they still tied to an old ass. And if you ever want to get to the place where the Lord can use you, he's going to have to loose you from some people because he wants to use you, and he's got to loose two so he can use one. So this donkey has to be redeemed. And the reason that the donkey had to be redeemed is because it's the firstling of a donkey. And the firstling of every donkey had to be redeemed with the blood of a lamb. And so let me make this announcement this morning. He can't use you until he redeems you, because your worth and your value is rooted in your redemption. And Peter told me to tell you like this: we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. And what gives you worth is not the house that you live in, What gives you worth is not the car that you drive. What gives you worth are not the clothes that you have on. What gives you worth is not the length of the weave on your head. What gives you worth is not the cost of your shoes, but what gives you worth is the precious blood of Jesus. And the reason that you're valuable is because of his worth and value that is in you. The Bible tells us that under the Mosaic law, that if you didn't redeem the donkey, you had to break his neck. In other words, God says, if I can't redeem you, then you are no use in value to me. And can I tell somebody this morning that if you're going to shout on anything, if you're going to be excited about anything, can it not just be about that he paid your bills? Can it not just be about that he healed your body? Can it not just be about over the fact that you got a new car? But can we just get back to shout over the fact that we've been redeemed? I mean, when I was coming up in church, if you talked about Jesus, we'd shout. If you talked about getting saved, somebody would get excited. There was a day that you couldn't say Jesus too many times. It would tear up a congregation. But now you can say Jesus all day, all night, and it ain't going to move nobody anyhow. But I really believe that I got some Bible-believing people on this line, and I got some redeemed folks on this line who says, Jones, I'm not shouting over my car, I'm not shouting over my house, but I'm shouting because of the fact that I have been redeemed. And the Bible literally says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I can be a witness to that, because somebody might say, Jones, I was a mess, and he got a hold of me. I better say so. I mean, I was tore up from the flow up, messed up from the neck up, but yet he saved me. I better say so. I mean, somebody might say, I used to be a drunk and a crack addict, but look at me now. I mean, I better say so. I used to perhaps be in the streets and in the gutter, but here I am on the declared victory line this morning. I better say so. So if God's going to use you, this donkey, you got to first be redeemed. But not only do you have to be redeemed, but watch this. And the second thing is you've got to be released. You've got to be released. So I'm still listening to the conversation with the colt. And the colt told me to tell you that if God's going to really use you, you've got to be released. Now, watch the release. Because when he gets ready to release him, he releases him at a crossroad. When they came to where the road splits, Bethphage and Bethany, that's where you're going to find the colt. Watch this. He's in a place caught between two directions, and he's about to get released. But in order for him to be released right, he's going to have to be released by a word. Y'all do know that's what loosed him, right? What loosed him was not the disciples. What loosed this colt was not his owner. What loosed this colt was a word from Jesus. And you do know that Jesus sent a word, and Jesus said, tell them to loose him and bring him here. And you can't get out of some stuff unless Jesus calls you out of some stuff. I wish I would just get somebody to testify this morning that really you didn't come out of it, but he called you out of it. I mean, you didn't leave him. He called you away from him. You didn't leave her. He called you away from her. Because if the truth be told, you still would have been there. If the truth be told, you were between two spots yourself. You had to make a decision and change your direction, but because you got a word from Jesus, he gave you the right direction. And here you are exactly where he wants you to be, because you were loosed by a word. It's a word that will release you from a sickness. By his stripes we are healed. It's a word that will lift you above your enemies. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's a word that will get your bills paid, but my God shall supply all of my needs. It's a word that will get you through a dark morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. It's a word that will release you. Watch this. Loose it and bring him here. So it's not enough just to be released. Bring him here, because we need more than just release. After release, we need transformation. And transformation can only happen if something happens on you that has never happened before. And so this code is transformed because something happened on him that ain't never happened before. So listen in on the conversation. If you want to be used by God and necessary for ministry, you're going to have to be redeemed. And if you ain't redeemed, he's going to break your neck. You've got to be released. You've got to be released by word. But not only do you have to be redeemed, and not only do you have to be released, but the cult will tell us today in closing that you're going to have to be ruled. I'll say it again. You're going to have to be ruled. R-U-L-E-D, ruled. Now, I know I would never get an amen if I was in a church setting with that, because we want to be redeemed and we want to be released, but we ain't trying to be ruled. But watch what happens. Jesus takes charge of the donkey. Now, that ain't a big deal for some of y'all because you haven't read the whole text. The problem is this. He ain't never been ridden. No man has rode on this colt. He's young, and he hasn't been broken. He's young, but he hasn't been brought under submission. Nobody has ever done anything with this colt but leave it tied up. The potential of this colt is tied up. The potential of this colt has not been revealed until this colt is ruled. In other words, you can't get out of him what's really in him until somebody other than him takes charge of him. And let me tell you this before I close, that God can't get anything out of you that he's put in you until you come to the place of total surrender and total submission. And there's a whole lot of gifts in you that has not been revealed because you are redeemed, you are released, but you still got to be ruled. So let me close with this. Michael Jordan, and my estimation, is the most prolific personality in NBA history. Michael Jordan. Now you don't have to argue with me, but that's my position. I mean, I'm a Warriors fan. I love Steph Curry. Michael Jordan, strangely, the whole time in his NBA career, Michael Jordan had a coach. Now, here's somebody who could be all defensive player and league top scorer in the same season, and yet he needed a coach. Here's a man who stands in the shadows of a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and an Oscar Robertson, and he still needs a coach. Here's a man whose own coach summarizes his play. Phil Jackson says during the NBA Eastern Conference Finals against the New York Knicks that there are some nights that Mike won't let us lose, and yet Mike still needed a coach. Because it does not matter how much skill you got. It don't matter how much talent you got. Because somebody has to be able to coach what God has put in you. God had destiny in the donkey, but until Jesus got on the donkey's potential was not yet released. He had to be ruled. Somebody else owned the donkey, but Jesus was going to ride him. And if Jesus was going to ride him, then he had to come under rule. This donkey is redeemed, he's released, and he's come under rule. Now watch him, and I'm done. Look at him. It's Palm Sunday. You see him? Here he comes. He's redeemed, he's released, and now he's under rule. Now watch him. Here he comes. Look at him. Steadily striding. His head is up. He's looking like something. You would think that's a stallion, but that ain't nothing but a little donkey. Look at him riding in. Now watch this. People are throwing down clothes. People are throwing down palm leaves. Hosanna is being shouted all over the place. People are praising God. And here comes the donkey. But nobody's looking at the donkey. Nobody's paying him any attention. But there's praise going on all around him. And Jesus is sitting on him as he's riding into the city, because the donkey now has a testimony. And I wonder this morning, is there somebody on the line who's got a real testimony? Now that the donkey is coming in saying, the day started out, I wasn't redeemed. The day started out, I was released. The day started out, I wasn't even under the rule. But look at me now. My life has been changed because now I have become necessary. But notice where he's necessary. He's necessary where the praises of God is going on. Declare victory. Where are you necessary? That's my question, y'all. Where are you necessary? You're really necessary in the place of praise, because nobody can praise God like you and for what God has done in your life. It's really time to praise the Lord. And so today, as we go to worship, we ought to really celebrate Palm Sunday, because you need to be redeemed, you need to be released, and you need to come under rule so God can get what he has put in you out of you. May God bless you. May God keep you. I'm sorry I took so long today. As I pass the call to Sister Carolyn. Love you much. Be blessed. Sister Carolyn, if you're praying, we can't hear you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we bless you, Lord. I come to you this morning giving you thanks and praise just for your word, God. I thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. What an amazing message. A timely message, God. I know you use who you choose, so I just thank you, God. I thank you that you called those to be redeemed, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I thank you for Pastor Lavelle this morning, God. Continue to bless and keep him, as he has so many sermons to do today. Just give him rest, give him peace, remind him to take his time and to pace himself, God. For all the victors that called in this morning, bless him indeed, God. For all those in the need of prayer, you know the needs, you know the desires, God. There's so many facing situations. Spiritual warfare is at an all-time high. So, Lord, I just thank you because you're in control. If we just remember to trust in you, to call on you, to put our hope in you, not to doubt you, God, in all things, because as your word says in Romans, all things work according to all things. Not some things, but all things. So, God, I thank you for working all things out for the good of those who love you, who honestly love you, and are just grateful for this day. It's just a blessing to breathe this morning. It's a blessing to walk, to talk, to hear. Don't take it lightly that you woke us up this morning, God. Not impressed with the alarm clock, God, or some of us overslept. Some of us are still trying to adjust to this time change. But in reality, we need to be grateful for any time, God, that you decide to touch us and to wake us up and to give us your breath. So I thank you. I have an attitude of gratitude. I just stand in the gap for everyone that is in need of any situation, those that are in grief, God. Those that are fighting sickness in their body, those that are just fighting mental issues, those that are just in need, God. There's people that are lonely. There's people that are hurting. There's people that are confused. God, I just thank you this morning. I thank you. I don't have a heavy heart, God. I have a happy heart, and I'm happy that because no matter what, God, you are still God and you're still good, and I praise you, God. I praise you just for this moment, God, for the declared victory line, God, that you allow us to get on a line 7 days a week, God, sometimes two times a day to give you praise, to pray, to fellowship, to get an encouraging word. I thank you for that, God. We must not take it for granted, God. It is a blessing, and I rejoice today, God. I thank you. I magnify your name, God, and I just want to give you praise. I want to praise your name, God, just for those that cannot or will not, I don't know how, God, mend those that are broken, God, those that are still hurting from church hurt. God, it's not about people. It's about you. So just mend those places so that the true praise can come forth. Again, I thank Pastor Lavelle for that amazing message. I, too, got on the call at 6:10. I didn't hear a prayer request, God, but you know each and every prayer request. You know what everyone is in the need of, God. And there's nothing, no thing too hard for you. You're a great God, and you are able. God, if you use the donkey, oh, my God, that's amazing. Hallelujah. That's an amazing message, and I thank you, Pastor Lavelle. I bless Dion, the radical midwife, for this lifeline that because of her obedience, God. So continue to bless and keep her. Oh, my God, I thank you that you are healing the minds of the Marie, God. I thank you for that mighty young man, God. I thank you for Deontay. I thank you for Josiah, the brothers that have stand around in the gap for their brother, God, and lifting their mom up always, God. I thank you for her mother, Jackie's amazing woman of God. I thank you for just the lineage that family has and for her brother Marcus and for her sister T and for Marcus' family, God. God, and I thank you for Tanya Alexander. I thank you for the mighty woman that you've called her to be, to also just be an amazing part of Declare Victory, God. It's an amazing place to be. So like Pastor Lavelle said today, let's do a new thing. Have a new song, a new talk, a new walk. Release some stuff. I thank you, Father, for this day as I pass the call.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you, we worship you, we adore you, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you that you saw fit to wake us up this morning. We thank you for the gift of life. And we absolutely do not take it for granted. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Jesus, that you kept us as we slept last night. We thank you that no hurt, harm, or danger came upon us. We thank you that you gave us an opportunity to gather together again, to come humbly and boldly before your throne. Lord, we lift up to you every prayer request, every petition, every concern, every need to you, Lord. And Lord, we just lay them at your feet. Lord, we just ask that you will forgive us for any sins that we may have committed against you. We ask that you will forgive us if we have offended you. We ask that you will forgive us, Lord, if there's anything that we have done to hurt you, Lord. And we ask that you would just search our hearts and make it clean so that we may serve you with a clean and whole heart, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our families. We thank you, Lord, for our loved ones. Lord, we just lift up to you, to our loved ones who may not know you, who may not be saved, Lord. We just ask them, Lord, that you will speak to their hearts, that you will use us as a vessel, Lord, to reach those who do not know you. And, Lord, we just pray for them, Lord. Lord, we lift up to you our children, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you will cover them, protect their hearts and their minds. Lord, spiritually, we just ask that you would just help them, Lord, to love you, Lord, that we as parents, grandparents, guardians, that we will continue to instill in them the love that you have for them. Lord, as parents, that we will continue to remind them that they are prince and princesses, Lord, and that you love them unconditionally, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you will just protect them on the streets, Heavenly Father. We pray that you will just continue to watch over them. Lord, we just lift up to you every marriage represented on this call. Lord, we pray that man and wife, husband and wife, will continue to love one another as you have loved us, that we will continue to have open and honest communication, Lord, that we will continue not to walk in bitterness but to walk in love. Lord, we continue to lift up every son and daughter on this call. Lord, I pray for all who went before me and who went after me. I pray, Lord, for Pastor Lavelle Jones for his awesome word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have been redeemed, that we have been released, and that we will be ruled. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you love us unconditionally, that you forgive us. And, Lord, we just glorify you. We just magnify you. And, Lord, I just continue to lift up to you every need. Lord, I lift up to you every illness. I lift up to you every person who is struggling and dealing with mental health, with issues, with just life. Lord, I pray that you will continue to cover us, that you will continue to bless us, that you will answer our prayers, that you will cover our needs, and that we will walk this day not worrying, not being concerned about what's around us and our circumstances. We just trust and believe in you. We continue to walk with you, Lord. And this day, Lord, I just surrender all to you. We surrender our thoughts. We surrender our plans. We surrender our families, our children. We surrender all to you. And, Lord, we just invite the Holy Spirit to dwell within us this day. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. Lord, I just pray for Dion and her family and every family on this call, Lord. I just pray that your homes will be blessed. I pray that needs will be met. We thank you and we love you. We bless you. We honor you. And, Lord, we cannot go through this day. We cannot go through this life without you, Lord. Lord, we invite you in. We need you. We need you, Lord, every day, every hour, every minute, and we thank you. We bless you and we honor you and we love you. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, as I pass the call.
Father, we continue to honor you on this morning. Father, we thank you, Father, that our pastors are faithful. Father, that they abound with blessings and that they do not grow weary in well-doing. That you who began a good work in them will perfect it. They are your workmanship, O God, created in Jesus Christ and equipped in every good thing to do your will, God. Work in them that is well-pleasing, God, in your sight, Father. Let all grace abound towards them, God, having all sufficiency in all things, God. Cover them. Give them all the things that they need, Father, to carry out your service, Father. Father, we thank you for them, God, because they have sowed bountifully, Father, they will reap bountifully. And whether they plant or water, God, Father, we know that you give the increase, God. I pray, God, let them triumph in you, in Christ, at all times, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name, O God. Let all blessings come upon them and overtake them, God. Keep them, O God, in obedience, God, and instruct them and teach them in the way that they should go, God. Reveal the deeper things of God. Reveal it, O God. Reveal it. Reveal the deeper things down on the inside, God, in this day and time, God. Father, we praise you. We thank you for every Declare Victory pastor. Father, we lift them up, O God. Cover them. Keep them from sickness and disease, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift them up before you, O God. Tear down every stronghold that may be in the pulpit, O God. Father, bless them and keep them in your perfect peace. Father, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Father, we bless your holy name, O God. Father, birth the things in them that you have spoken, O God, into their hearts, O God, that they continuously give themselves to you in prayer and that they minister the word, Father, with purity, O God, and in the anointing, O God. Father, we bless your holy name for them. We thank you, O God, everyone that you have assigned, Father, to each and every ministry, O God. We bless your name, O God, and we worship you, Father, for them, O God. Cover, God, with the blood of Jesus, from the crown of their heads to the tip of their toes, God. We thank you and we praise you, God. Father, as we move forward and we pray for our ministries, O God, we ask that you continue, O God, to knit your people together, Father. Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, God. O God, we bless your name, Jesus. Let your word dwell richly in us, O God. When we go to our ministries, O God, let us go, Father, with an open heart, O God. Let us go with honesty, O God. Let us go girding ourselves up with truth, O God. Father, loving one another, O God. being kind to one another, O God, in meekness and long-suffering, O God, bearing with another, O God, forgiving one another, O God, recognizing those who labor among us, God. Let us not, Father, be haughty, O God, at any time, Father. Father, I pray that the whole body be knitted together and joined together and that everyone does their part, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let us all fervently love one another with a pure heart, O God. Let us become serious and watchful in our prayers, O God, redeeming the time, Father, because you know the days are evil, God, pressing toward the mark, God, the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us, O God, be serious, O God, and reach out to our communities through our ministries, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, let us have a mind to serve when we go, God, in the name of Jesus. Fill us with the knowledge of your will, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be no murmuring and complaining, O God. Let us not walk after our own lust, O God. Let us not go after our own ways, O God, and have our own mind, God. But let us serve the man or woman of God that we serve under, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we praise you and we give you thanks, God, on this morning, O God. Father, we ask that you cover our communities, O God. Cover our cities, God. Cover our officials, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, place your righteous people, God, in these positions, God, that these laws can be turned, O God. There are some laws, you God, you said that would be for a time and a time again, God. But we ask, O God, that you continue to guide us while we are under these laws, God, that you continue to keep us, O God, and let nothing befall us, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you glory and we give you praise, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, O God. We thank you, sweet Jesus, and we bless your name on this morning, God. Father, we stand up against racism, O God. We stand up against all forms of abuse, God. Father, you said the king's heart is in your hand. Now, God, turn those hearts, O God, that do evil, Father. Turn the hearts, O God. Turn them now, God, that we can live peaceably in our cities, O God, in this state, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we lift up our nation, God. We pray for the leaders of this nation, God, those that sit in all legislative seats, God. Father, we give thanks for all the people of our nation, God, that we might live a peaceable life in all godliness and all honesty, God. Have mercy on us, O God. Let this nation remember from where it has fallen, God, repenting and returning to do their first works, O God. Father, let us set our hearts and souls to seek you, God, humbling ourselves, O God, praying and turning from their wicked ways, God. O God, Father, then hear from us, Father, and forgive us, O God. Forgive and heal our land, God. Father, you see the corruption, O God. Father, you see the confusion, Father, in this election, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we stand up against outside attacks, O God, in the midst of this confusion, God. Father, raise up a standard in this nation, God, and cause the rain of your spirit to flood the land, God. Raise up, Father, intercessors for this nation, God, to pull down the strongholds of this land, God. Father, we stand up against every curse that's come against this nation, God. Father, every curse of other nations, God, that has claimed victory over this nation, God, that has claimed our demise, God. Father, we seek your face, God, and asking that you have mercy on us, God, and keep us, O God, in the midst of every single storm, Father, that this nation has gone through and will go through, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name, O God. We lift up now, God, our military, O God. We lift up, Father, all of our military, God, all of the cabinets, O God, each and every jurisdiction, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we have children that are in the military serving, O God. Father, we lift up Isaiah, Tamara, Lardell, God. We lift up Devin, God, Jana, O God, Angelica, O God, Zechariah, Father, Tristan, Jervias, Joshua, Jalan, Demaria, Joshua Jones, O God, Imani, and Maurice, O God. We lift them up before you, O God, and we ask that you cover them with the blood of Jesus, from the crown of their head to the tip of their toes, O God. Father, we praise you and we thank you right now that they are kept safe, O God, and that the blood of Jesus does dwell richly in them, O God. We ask right now, O God, Father, that you shield them, O God, with your protection, O God, in the name of Jesus. Allow Holy Spirit guide and lead them in the way that they should go, O God. Keep them in your perfect peace, O God. We apply the blood of Jesus to their lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God. We believe you, O God. We lift them up, O God. Father, we put a hedge of protection around them, O God, a flaming wall of fire, God, all around them, O God. Keep them, O God. Give them wisdom, God, every step that they take, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you continue, O God, to guide those leaders, God, in the name of Jesus. Give them the strategies of war that they need, God, the strategies, O God, to defeat the enemy, O God, on every assignment that they need to go to, God. Father, we lift you up, O God, and we praise you, Father. We bless your holy name, God. We thank you on this morning. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Father, we bless your name and we thank you, God. As I continue to pray on, oh God, Father, we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And I pass the call.
Paulette, if you're praying, we can't hear you. So, Father God, we come before you continuing in prayer, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. We thank you for everything that has happened at this point, Father God. We love you and we adore you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for Pastor Lavelle as he talked so eloquently this morning, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for all that called in, Lord God. We just bless your holy name, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God. We remember to lift up those that are sick and afflicted, oh God. Those that are bereavement, oh God. We just thank you, God, and we just love you and adore you, God. We bless your holy name, Lord God. And as we take our phones off mute, Father God, we want to continue to just lift up your name, God, and praise you like we've never praised you before on this Palm Sunday, Lord God. We just thank you right now, God, because you're so good, God. You're mind regulator, oh God. We just thank you, God, and we honor you. We praise you, oh God. We just need you, Lord God. We just remember that, Lord God, if you can use a donkey, you can use any one of us, Lord God. We just thank you, Jesus. We just love you, Lord God. We honor you, oh God, because you're a mighty good God. We just thank you right now, Father, because you are so good, God. You are so good, God. You are so good, God, and you are so worthy to be praised, oh God. There is none like you, Father God. There is none like you, Jesus. Oh God, how I bless you this morning, God. How I bless you this morning, Lord God. How I thank you, Lord God, because you didn't have to wake us up this morning, God, but you did. You did, God. You did it for a reason, Lord God. Let us remember that on this day, on this Palm Sunday, Lord God, what they did to you. They called you out and they blessed and praised your name, and then in the next moment they wanted to crucify you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, because you are sovereign, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, because you didn't have to do what you did when you did, God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God. We just praise you this morning, Lord God. You are so good, God. We honor you, God, this morning just because of who you are, God. Not if you don't do another thing, God, you are still worthy of our praise, Lord God. We just lift up your holy name, God, because you are a mighty good God. We just thank you, God. We love you. We adore you. We just bless your name, God. We just praise you this morning, this God. You just blessed us this morning, Lord God, just with the wings of love, God. Bless us this morning because you love us that much. God, you bless us, oh God, because you You're just so good, God. You're just so good, God. And we just thank you, Lord God. Bless and cover our babies, God. Bless and cover our children, Lord God. Bless those that don't know you, Lord God. Let us be a witness and a shining light, bright light for you, God, because you are worthy of all the praise, Lord God. I just thank you right now, Father God, for who you are to me, God. I thank you, Lord God. I bless your name, God. We give you praise, Lord God. And I just feel this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God as I pass the call.
I know Bubby just finished praying, so I'll take over from here. Thank everyone who has played a part in praying, and Sister Julia with the scripture, Sister Dee Dee, Sister, I think that was Diane or Tiffany, one or the other, I'm sorry, and then Angela, and then Bubby for praying. Is there any first-time callers on the line? Would you like to say good morning to us and let us know who you are? All right. Is there anyone who called in and didn't get an opportunity to say good morning? Now's your time. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Hey, everybody. It's Lisa.
Hey, Miss Lisa.
Good morning, Prayer Warriors. It's Gail.
Shout-out.
Morning.
Good morning, family. It's Renee.
Hi, Miss Renee.
Hello.
Good morning, it's Janet.
Hi, Miss Janet. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Tanya.
Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
Anyone else?
Good morning, this is Adrian.
Brother Adrian, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Good morning, this is Sister Carolyn.
We missed you, Sister Carolyn.
I know. Last week I was sick, and this morning I woke up at 5-something, and I just woke up. I'm so sorry. I hope y'all have not replaced me. I will be ready next week. Amen.
Well, we're not putting you on next week. You done disappointed us 2 weeks in a row. No, I'm joking.
Okay. All right. I'll come back the next weekend.
All right. Anyone else? Good morning. It's Palm Sunday.
Good morning. It's Dondria. Good morning, family.
Good morning, Ms. Dondria.
Good morning.
Come on, good morning. Jesus is making his triumphal entry into the city.
Good morning, family. This is Ruth.
Good morning.
Glory. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise him.
Anyone else? All right. If there is not another, I'm going to pass the call to Pastor Lavelle Jones, and he's going to take over.
Amen, right, brother. I appreciate you. Oh, my God. I love you guys. Oh, my God.
Amen.
So I am asking you all to pray for me today. I got a long day, and it probably won't end until 9, 10 o'clock tonight. So I ask that y'all okay, Ruth, I got it. Thank you, Ruth. You made me lose my train of thought. Long day today. Again, it's Palm Sunday. And then I want to invite you guys. I put the flyer in the Victory Room for this coming Friday at the Mount Calvary Baptist Church at the main campus. My pastor, Dr. Cleveland Lee, the seven last sayings. We don't call it the seven last words because it's not the seven last words, but it's the seven last sayings of Jesus Christ today around Calvary. So some awesome men of God, and I'm sharing the stage with some of the most prolific men in the Bay Area, and I'm just honored to be on the ticket that they thought that much of me, of my preaching, to be in the midst of them. So it starts at 12 o'clock on Friday from 12 to 3, and I want to invite y'all to come support. Come support. It's going to be awesome. There's usually probably about 1,300 people there, so please come and bless us. All right, so our declaration this morning, the Lord hath need. The Lord hath need. Now, when I looked at that, it bothered me because, again, starting off with the theological understanding that that I had was that God didn't need my help. But yet here Jesus is saying that the Lord hath need. And then not only did he have need, but he got something that you and I would consider insignificant, because as I sat in Delverta, Sacramento, looking at that donkey, I wondered why that donkey was even there. I mean, what is a donkey for? You know, but the truth of the matter is, what that said to me is that Jesus, that we ought not throw away anything or anybody just because we think that they're insignificant. Because the things and the people you think are insignificant, Jesus calls them necessary. Anybody want to comment? Did you have an aha moment? Something bless you, something you thought about as I spoke?
Hey, brother, this is Bubbly. When you mentioned about everything that, and I'm going to make sure I wrote that down correctly, everything Jesus used in ministry was borrowed. Did I write that down correctly?
Was borrowed. Yeah.
Borrowed. Okay, and that, in that, it's just that, like us, everything that we do for him, not for him, in ministry, is for his glory, yes, but you said it's something that, I'm trying to make sure I'm saying it right. In my head, I can hear it right, but I'm trying to make sure I'm saying it right. Can you expound on that just a little bit more about that so I can get a better understanding of it?
Yeah. About the borrow part? Is that what you're asking? I'm trying to get it right.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Probably the significance of it, I think that's probably what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, the significance of it. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was it. Go ahead.
Okay. The significance of the fact that that's why we should never get ahead of ourselves and get too lifted up in pride of what we have. Because the truth of the matter is everything that we have is simply borrowed. Is borrowed because, and the reason I say it's borrowed, your house is borrowed. You may own it, you may have the title, you may have the deeds or whatever, but the truth of the matter is it's borrowed because you can't take it with you. You know, and even in the positions in our church and stuff, they're only borrowed positions. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't think so, just get too high on yourself thinking it's all about you. He knows how to take it from you. The things that we have in life, he knows how to take it from you. So everything that we have is borrowed.
Thank you. Now I know where I was going with that. I remember someone saying to me about, like, your family member, your children, and so on and so forth, that God just gives us all those blessings as loners, and that we're supposed to nurture and take care of them because he's one day he's going to call them back. And that's what made me, that's what came up for me when you were saying about things that that Jesus gives us, that like you just said, they're on loan, that they're not ours to keep. We're just supposed to, when we have them, treasure them, nurture them, love on them, and everything else like that. Because, like I said, one day God's going to want all your loved ones back and everything else, not just your children, your parents, your loved ones, and so on and so forth. That's what came up for me.
Thank you. Only thing we are, Bubbly, is just stewards over what he's given us. We're just stewards. That's it. Even our children, as much as, and I don't mean to keep bringing this up. As much as I miss my son, my child and stuff, I understand that he may be my seed, but he still belonged to God. He was borrowed. He was on
right.
loan.
Amen.
And when God said he wanted him back, guess what God did? He took him.
Took him back.
Okay? Your mother, my father was on loan. He was just on loan. And the truth of the matter is, Joseph was only on loan to Jesus. All right? Anyone else?
LaVille.
It is I.
Good morning, brother. That was amazing, as always. And I'm still praying for your strength today because that's a lot. And pace yourself, please. Man, it's amazing how many people hung up this morning because you can hear it. That's okay because the word, I know I needed that. And it's a reminder of just how borrowed time we have. And everything is temporal. You know, this world, the house, you know, we're not here for a long time. We're here for whatever time God allows us to be here. And you're right about the loaning of people. Like the three children that I birthed are not mine. He loaned them to me and will take them. When he chooses to, he may take me first or however it goes. So I loved your analogy about when God used a donkey to get a point across to Balaam. That has always been one of the most amazing stories to me because I have seen people rise and fall in titles. And when people get so caught up in titles, I think Kirk Franklin made a song about it. Everybody want a title, but do you know your name? You get so caught up in being a pastor, a bishop, a whatever, that sometimes you forget who you are and you let that title consume you and you become prideful and boastful. And when you get yourself too high up on a pedestal and he snatches you off of it, that's when you are humbled. And that's not the kind of, I don't want him to humble me like that. I want to humble myself and not think too much of myself, because that's exactly what the enemy will do, is to get you to, like Tanya said, drink your own Kool-Aid and forget that God allowed you this position. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be mindful of that. And I just love the way that you worded it, and it made perfect sense to me. You know, you have to not be so, just remember who you are and where you came from and what got you to that place. And don't get so caught up in that title, because it's only borrowed and he can take it away at any time. God uses those that we think are insignificant to bless even us. Those people that we think may not have the best education or speak well or know all the 66 books in the Bible and, you know, all of that, God will use them to bless us or to show us and to teach us. So it's just amazing how you said, and don't get caught up in your title because it's only borrowed. I appreciate you as always. Thank you.
You know, Dee Dee, when I got my doctorate degree in theology, I thought that was the most amazing thing in the history of my ministry. And do you know, on none of my stuff, my church, nothing, my name is not Dr. Jones. And you know, now at first it was doctor and bishop. Now folks are apostles and prophets and all that. You know, those titles change, you know. And I always felt this way, and my members ask me all the time, Pastor, why you don't put doctor behind in front of your name? Because I feel like this: if you demand folks to call you doctor, you need a doctor. I really believe you need a doctor when you demand folks. Y'all know who I am. I don't have to call myself doctor or anything like that. I mean, I know who God made me. I'm happy with being LaVille. You know, LaVille can do a whole lot with just LaVille, because I know who God made me to be. Thank you, Dee Dee. Anyone else?
Good morning, Pastor LaVille.
Good morning, Sister Julie.
Yes. A great decoration, as always, you know. And you do a good job of speaking and talking with us. And I am so grateful to have you and listen to you. You said that you was going to be somewhere Friday at Mount Calvary Church?
Yeah, Mount Calvary. I'll post it. It's posted in the Victory Room.
Okay, I see. Can I get that? Because I'm having family coming here from Seattle, Washington. And they want to go and hear some, you know, want to go and hear some speakers to the church and stuff when they get here. So I would love to bring them.
Okay. All right. Julia, let me help you with something real quick. Let me help you with something real quick.
Okay.
And I'm doing this out of love, so I want you to hear me when I say this, okay? Because I don't have your number or anything, but I want to tell you this. When you read the scripture this morning, Psalms, the book of Psalms are not in chapters. They're in numbers or divisions. So whenever you read the book of Psalms, when you read something, say the 27th division or the 27th number of Psalms, they're not in chapters in Psalm. Okay.
Ooh wee.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Teachable moment. Teachable moment.
What did I say? I did say chapter 27. I should have said verse.
You should have said numbers or division.
Okay.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's what we're here for, to learn.
No.
Don't feel bad, Sister Julia, because if you don't know, you don't know. Well, that's okay. All right. We love you.
Oh, my God.
All right. That's okay. Do not get down on yourself. Do not kick yourself. That's okay. All right? All right. Anyone else want to say something? Come on, Lisa, talk to me.
Oh my God.
Yes.
This is Ruth.
Listen. Don't you text me no more this morning. Do you hear me?
Okay, gosh. Don't be telling my business. Don't be telling my business. Hey, that was a teachable moment regarding Psalm. But you know what I want to say is this. It's nothing better than a humble person that has, you know, you say titles, but, you know, are in position, you know, to do some amazing things. And you don't even know until you talk to them and they mention it. I remember Pastor Coleman telling a story when he was on a cruise, and he didn't even mention to the gentleman that he was having a conversation with that he was a pastor. And the guy was just talking, you know, stuff, and I think he mentioned about smoking some weed or something, but Pastor never told him that he was a pastor, you know, and he said he don't mention that he's a pastor. You just want to get to know people. And so when the guy found out that he was a pastor, he was like, oh man, I'm sorry. You know, he just kept apologizing. He was like, no problem. But I just think, I love him for that. And he never does just go, I'm Pastor William Coleman. He's just such a humble person. I absolutely love him. You guys kind of remind me of each other with your sense of humor. But I think that's the, and I'm saying the sexiest thing, but I think that is just the most precious thing. I want to say sexy, but it's the most precious thing to be around someone, man or woman, and just, you know, they be in position to do amazing things, you know, and they don't throw their titles around and I can do this and I can do that. And another thing about our loved ones being on loan to us, you know, since we met on November 7th, Pastor Lavelle and I'm calling you Pastor Lavelle, in Sacramento at the crime scene of my brother, yesterday was the first time that I could look at his pictures. And yesterday was the first time I put his pictures up on my wall. So, yes, our loved ones are on loan to us. And it took me this long to just really, you know, accept it and just, you know, I know he's gone. I know he was just on loan to us. So I thank God for the time that I got to share with him. And I thank God for allowing me to be the big sister and him always want to come to my house and swim and love my food and all that. I have to remember those times. And so I thank you again. I know I thank you 100 times for coming to the scene of the crime on November 7, 2015, which changed my life. So today I'm better, and I can look at his pictures and not break down.
Praise God, Ruth. I was happy to be there for you and Kyle and your family, and that's what family is for. So that's what Dion has created on this line for us to
yes.
be there for one another. So I had no problem with being there.
I would have never known you if it had not been for this call. So, yes, if she's listening, thank you so much, Dion, for the Declare Victory family. And that's exactly what we are as family. You guys are my new family. And so I'm grateful for that. And, you know, yeah. Okay. So thank you. That was, yeah.
That's praise awesome. God. All right. Anyone else this morning? Come on, the Lord hath need. The Lord hath need. He rode in. This is Palm Sunday, y'all. This is Palm Sunday. He rode in on the insignificant. And the things that we call insignificant, he called necessary. Wow. He called necessary. And so this donkey, did y'all nobody question the fact that, Pastor, how was this donkey redeemed? A redeemed donkey? Nobody thought about that? I guess y'all did.
Pastor Jones. I did. It was kind of surprising because, you know, you grow up hearing about Palm Sunday, you know, as a child and, you know, young adult and even in your latter years. And it's like, redeemed? I'm like, because when I think of redemption, I think about something that you had to have done something wrong to be redeemed. Maybe I'm saying that wrong, but what the donkey was untouched, you know, virgin, as you will. Never been in anything, but God had need of him, and then by riding him, he was redeemed. I that was kind of a lot for me to take in. So,
okay, let's back up just a little bit, Bubbly. Okay,
yeah,
let's yeah, because you said the donkey was a virgin, so let's I just want to just be kind of clear. So understanding that. When Jesus got the donkey had to be redeemed. And the reason it had to be redeemed because under the Levitical law, and when you get a chance, read Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. The firstling of every donkey had to be redeemed with a lamb. Okay? And if the donkey wasn't redeemed, then they would break his neck. Okay, so now the parallel here is that if he's going to use you, meaning you and I, like he wants to use us, the first thing we've got to do is be redeemed. Okay, we've got to be born again, simply born again. If he's going to use us the way that he wants to use us, we literally have to be born again. I was talking yesterday to a good friend of mine who pastors Old Path Church of God in Christ, Pastor Harold, Superintendent Harold Johnson, and he said, "Lavelle, you're moving away from Baptist, huh?" I said, "Yeah, I'm moving away from Baptist. I want to go more Pentecostal, non-denominational." And he said, "Well, how come?" I said, "Because." I said, "Can I say it the way I want to say it?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Kojic is too saved, and Baptist ain't saved enough." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Kojic is holier than thou, and Baptists don't hold the standards that they need to hold." God is only concerned about us being redeemed and living the life that we should live. He's not concerned. Our problem is we beat people in the head, and we everybody's mad at Kirk Franklin right now because of the things that Kirk Franklin is saying about religion and stuff and all of that. And the truth of the matter is your worth, the worth that he has in you is rooted in your redemption. That's why he's able to use us like he wants to use us. But the God that Kojic and Baptist portray is really not the God that we see, because God doesn't browbeat you. He doesn't beat you down when you mess up and all of that. And then Superintendent Johnson said to me, he said, "Lavelle, you're totally right. Because Galatians 6:1 says, if your brother be overtaken in a fault, those of you who are spiritual, you need to restore him, not beat him up and not look down on him." And then to the
right.
Flip side, my Baptist brothers, their problem is they don't take redemption serious enough, which means you can't live any kind of way. So we got to be careful, y'all, because Jesus was the kind of God that met people where they were. Everybody is not on the same level. And just because you got it together doesn't mean everybody else got it together. And whether you know it or not, you struggle in somewhere. You may not be struggling in the same area that I'm struggling. And I may not be struggling in the same area that you're struggling. But the truth of the matter is the reason we all on this prayer line this morning is because we all struggling with something. I wish I had me a witness here.
I know that's right.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my God.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He's that kind
so
of guy.
I just believe we ought to meet people where they are. Let me tell you something. It ain't about the kind of clothes you have on. And what I want to do is establish a new ministry that we're not even concerned about what you look like in terms of dress. And he said, and Superintendent Johnson said to me yesterday, well, Lavelle, all your suits are tailored and your shirts, every time I see you, you got a monogram shirt on and stuff. I said, but yeah, I dress like that because that's how I like to dress. But sometimes when I go to church, sometimes I want to go in jeans. That's what I love about TFBC and Pastor Coleman. When I walked in that church, I was so amazed. People had hats on. The ushers had jeans and their regular shirts on and stuff. That's the kind of ministry that I love. I love where you just meet people where they are, and then you love on them and you teach them how to live right.
Amen.
So the donkey had to be redeemed, and if he wasn't redeemed, then he was going to break his neck. So he can't use you until he redeems you because your worth and your value is literally rooted in your redemption. And you remember Peter said, we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious Lamb of God, meaning Jesus. And so what gives you worth, remember, is not where you live or what you drive or the clothes or anything like that, but your worth, what gives you worth is the precious blood of Jesus, okay? So, and then God says, if I can't redeem you, then you are of no value to me, okay? And y'all, the truth of the matter is, while we're shouting over all that other stuff, my question is, when are we going to get back to shouting over the fact that Jesus paid our sin debt on a hill called Calvary?
Yes, yeah.
I was reading a book the other day in my library, and there's a book. My favorite writer is Max Lucado. Max Lucado is my ultimate favorite writer. And Max Lucado, I was reading a book the other day called He Chose the Nails. He literally chose the nails. In spite of me, he chose the nails. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
How he, regardless of what I've become, what I've been, he still chose the nails, and he did it just for me. Now, you got to make it personal and make it just for you. And so when your pastor, male or female or whoever speaking is up preaching today, and they talk about the redemption, when they talk about Jesus going to Calvary and stuff, if nobody else say amen, you ought to say amen. You ought to stand up. You ought to jump up and shout. Because he did it just for you. Okay? I mean, we don't even get excited over the name of Jesus no more. But when I was coming up, saying the name of Jesus would tear up a church.
Amen.
Pastor Lavelle.
It would yes.
Thank you for saying that, because you're so right. When you really think about it and make it personal, hallelujah, and you think about the cross and the blood and that he thought we were worth saving. He thought he died for us, our raggedy selves. It's a beautiful thing, and you're right. I think people have gotten more caught up in people. And so, you know, you're running to see this person because of who they are, their name or their title. And, you know, you'll fall out if they say they can read a nursery rhyme and folks are shouting and they ain't saying nothing about Jesus. So you're right. It's people have gotten so good at performing. And when you said stage, I thought about that. I said, where's that? What happened to the pulpit? Because it has become a stage in a lot of churches and a lot of, it's performing. It really is. I'm such a note taker and a listener that you can tell if a person is talking. And teaching is good. It's amazing how, like you said, I too belong to a church where you come as you are, because churches are not perfect. If you go into church and you think you're going to leave feeling good, you might want to stay home, because it's a hospital. We know that there are imperfect, sick, flawed, hurting people at church. You may get your feelings hurt, but it's not a stage. It's like, well, the actors, please. Who are you? Show up for real. It's all about the blood, but we have forgotten that, and you're so right. We have forgotten about the name of Jesus, how you said Jesus would just cause people to shout out of their minds, out of their clothes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're right, it's not like that. But let old brother so-and-so or bishop, whoever, come to town, and folks are flocking to hear a word that may not even be anointed. So you have to really pay attention and have an ear to hear and know the word and not get caught up in the performance. That's how I feel. Sometimes I go and I'm at places and people are, oh, he preaching good, and I'm sitting there waiting for a word. I'm serious. I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing a lot of hooping and hollering and shucking, and the musician is wrapping it up with a song, and I'm not, you know, it's personal, but I'm like, there's no work message in that for me, and I know I got an ear to hear. So I thank you for that. I thank you for saying what you said today. It's so much. It's so much, and I'm still laughing at all the hang-ups. People got to get ready for church, yeah, but sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. So I thank you.
Wow. Praise God.
Thank you so much, Pastor Lavelle. It's Sister Carolyn.
Is that D times two?
I'm still on time out a little bit.
That's D times two? The truth to tell. Oh, this is Carolyn?
Yes, I just want to say something real quick. I just want to just thank you for what I've heard, and I'm going to go back and listen to the declaration. Your share even now and everybody. Something that you said about people, just the name of Jesus. Like, it's been, I don't know, some years back when you were ministering at Wednesday Love My Church, you know, the praise team choir, we were ministering, and we were just singing about Jesus. And we were going all the way in. When the Holy Spirit falls down, we were going all the way in, singing about Jesus. It was people who walked out while we were singing about the name of Jesus. I was like, wow. Anyway, you know, we're going to worship him no matter. And then, when I go to my church meetings, I go to worship, I go to serve, you know, a certain decor, you know, of course, you know, you're on the stage, you're going to, you know, wear what you need to wear. But when I go to East Bay Bible, you know, Pastor Rita, when I go just to not serve, but just to worship, to just study, I'm coming as I am, with my slacks, with my boots, I'm coming as I am. I'm not worried about what I got on. I'm just coming to hear and to learn. Thank everybody. Thank you. God bless them.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So we talked about redemption, being redeemed. Okay. And that's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You better, when you get to church, y'all, you better say so. I mean, look at all the stuff you done been through in your life. You better say so.
God.
I don't know about y'all. At one time, I was a mess. I was a mess. But look what God did. He got a hold of me. When I tell y'all, I was toe up from the floor. Now watch this. When I tell y'all I was toe up from the floor, I was preaching, I was pastoring, and still a mess. I was still a mess from the pulpit. Huh? So I better say so. So he was redeemed, and then he was released. But watch this. He released him at a crossroad. Because when you remember, the Bible said where they were going to find him, where the road splits at Bethphage and Bethany, but notice this, that he was caught between two directions, and he's about to get released. But in order for him to be released, he's got to be released right, and he was released by a word.
The reason you've been released by some of the stuff you was in, it was because it was a word that released you, that somebody gave you a word from the Lord, and it released you, and you knew that you couldn't live the way you've been living. You couldn't keep doing the way the stuff the way you were doing it. And you were at a crossroads yourself. You were between two spots. I mean, you had to make a decision, change your direction, but because you got a word from him, he gave you the right direction, and now you're exactly where he wants you to be because you were released by a word. Amen. So then it's not enough to just loose him. It's not just enough to be released, because after we've been released, we need more than release, because after release, then there's transformation. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor Jones? I mean that transformation can only happen in you if something happens in you that has never happened before. That's transformation. So in essence, the parallel is this colt is transformed because something happened on him that has never happened before. Wow. And so not only after you've been redeemed, you've been released, but you've got to be ruled. And I knew nobody would shout on that, because we don't mind being redeemed, we don't mind being released, but ain't nobody trying to hear about being ruled. and nobody notices this, that Jesus is riding on this donkey, riding into the city. Nobody's tripping on that, but remember, remember, the problem is this, that the colt had never been ridden before. He's young. He hasn't been broken yet. He's never been brought under submission. Nobody had done anything with that colt except leave him tied up. In other words, watch this. And I'm going to leave y'all with this because y'all quiet this morning. I'm going to leave y'all with this. In other words, you can't get out of him what's really in him until somebody other than him takes charge of him. That's why you have a pastor. That's why you have a pastor, because somebody has got to be able to coach what God has placed in you. And we talked about this on TNT the other night. When your pastor asking you to do something and you run around talking about, let me pray about it. Well, if your pastor doesn't already pray, what you got to pray about? He or she is coming to you. Let me say they. They're coming to you asking you to do something because God has already put it on their heart to ask you to do it. And then you can't do anything aside from the man, woman of God that God has over your life, because somebody in you has got to be able to coach what the Lord has put in you. Look at LeBron James. He's good. Look at Steph Curry. He's great. But guess what? They both got a coach.
Amen.
They got a coach. Because no matter how great you are, I'm going to say that again. No matter how great you are, it doesn't matter how much skill you got, it doesn't matter how talented you are, somebody has got to be able to coach what God has put in you.
Amen.
You can't do it by yourself. That's why every pastor has a pastor. All right? Any other questions, any other comments, y'all? Come on. Now is the time. Y'all get quiet when I do declarations. Okay? Now, here's the last part, because nobody said nothing on that. Now, as he's riding the colt into the city, right? Y'all with me? Remember,
yep.
It's Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday.
Amen.
People are throwing down clothes. They're throwing down palm leaves. They're crying out Hosanna. It's being shouted all over the place. People are praising God. And remember, he's riding in on the donkey. And remember, nobody is even looking at the donkey. Nobody's probably even paying attention to the donkey. But watch this. There's still praise going on all around the donkey. And now the donkey has a testimony. He's necessary. He's necessary. Where is he necessary, Pastor Jones? He's necessary where the praises of God is going on. Where are you really necessary? Where are you really necessary? You're really necessary in the place of praise. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because nobody can praise God like you.
Wait, LaVille.
And nobody can tell.
Say that again. He's necessary in the what? Say it again.
I said he's necessary where the praises of God is going on.
Okay.
Because remember, as he's coming in, as Jesus is riding on him, remember, people are throwing down palm leaves. They're throwing down clothes. Hosanna's being shouted all over the place. They're praising God. And that's where he's necessary. He's necessary where the praises of God are going on. And that's where you're necessary. You're necessary because nobody can.
I have a question. Okay, so did you say necessary when the praises of God or where the praises of God?
Where, when? You could use both of them.
Amen. Thank you.
Because nobody can praise God like you and for what God has done in your life. Nobody. Nobody can praise him like you and for you. You've got to praise him for yourself. Because you're the one with the testimony. And if the donkey can come in with a testimony, why can't you have a testimony?
Come on, preacher.
I wish I had me a witness here.
Oh, my God. My God.
Amen.
The donkey had a testimony, so why can't you have a testimony? You got to be able to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
All right. Are there any other comments? Any other? Dion, you ain't saying nothing. Say something this morning. Lisa.
Hey, Pastor Jones. It's lovely again. I just want to tell you, you just don't know how you have encouraged my morning. With this word today, that's all I got to say. I thank God for you and all that you do. But on this day, you have just blessed my soul and encouraged me in a way you probably have no idea.
I appreciate that, Bubbly, but today we're going to give the credit to God because it was him.
To God be all glory. To God be glory. But this is his word in using you.
Yes.
Used by him to bless us.
I have a question, Pastor LaVille. I have a question, Sister Carolyn. So listening to you guys, listening to you, are you saying that we have to be redeemed so God can use us?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Because your work is rooted in your redemption. If that's the case, why did Jesus go to Calvary?
Yeah. We could be redeemed.
Yeah. And watch this, Sister Carolyn. He can use you until he redeems you.
Yes, that's good. Wow.
Why do you say that, Pastor? I said that because you're not his until he redeems you. Now, somebody might say, Pastor, that's a narrow-minded statement. Well, that's not what I said. That's what he said. He has received him who? Him, Jesus, gave them power to become sons of God. And if you haven't received him, then you're not his.
Wow. And sold out.
I got the word to back me up. Okay? We're not all, watch this, Sister Carolyn, we're not all God's children. We're his creation, but we're not all his children. You're not his child until you accept him as your personal Savior.
Even going through the motions and all of that, you got to really accept him and be redeemed. And be healed.
You got to be redeemed. And stop playing with your redemption.
That's good. That's so good.
Lavelle. Lavelle.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
You, Lavelle, this is Ruth. You play too much. I want to say this. I want to say that's my biggest prayer. My biggest prayer daily is for people that don't know the Lord. I'm so grateful that I know, and I still have a lot to learn, but I pray for the people that stole my aprons. I thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, two of those aprons came from Minnesota. One of my friends, she's in the service, and those were specially ordered. But I pray for those that don't know the Lord. Really, I do, because they don't even know what they're missing. I love your declarations, because your declarations are like mini Bible studies, and it's free. I don't have to pay anything for a conference to listen. You know, I don't have to use my credit card to dial in and declare victory. So I'm so grateful. But I had to just pray for those people that stole my car. But then I had to thank God that they left it down the street, because I can get up and go to work in the morning. And it may be a little bucket. I don't even wash it. It was $1,000. But it get me to you know, A and B. But one thing about it, they have some anointed, I said this yesterday, they have some anointed aprons, because those aprons were filled with fish grease. But I say this,
praise,
I pray
the
for
Lord,
those.
Lord, hallelujah.
God is still good.
I really do. My heart goes out to people that don't know Jesus. That is my sincere prayer daily for those that don't know the Lord, from Richmond to you know, all over the world. And so I'm praying for this new neighborhood that I'm in, you know, that God would surround my house with peace and protection. You know, there wasn't a way to welcome me to the neighborhood. I guess it was to steal my car. But, gosh, I pray for them people. Because you know what they left on my car? And the police came to my house yesterday, and they took a half a bottle of vodka. So, you know, I know they lost. They was probably drunk when they parked my car down the street. Probably thought they put it right back in front. But I pray for them. I do. I pray that one day that they'll get to know the Lord, or they'll be blessed by that anointed fish grease on the apron.
Praise God. All right. Anyone else before we close out? Because it is Palm Sunday. I know y'all got to get to worship. I know y'all in a rush to get to worship. I just know y'all is. I know y'all in a rush to get to church today.
I know I am.
All right. Again, may the Lord bless each and every last one of you today. Again, let's not forget Friday. These ought to be some great declarations this week. I can't wait to next Sunday to do my declaration on next Sunday. We probably won't have Love, Life, and Victory next Sunday because it is Resurrection Sunday morning. But I want to encourage y'all next week and I'm going to talk about how to forgive the unforgivable next week. How to forgive the unforgivable. Because some people do things in life that just seems unforgivable. But how did Jesus forgive? How did he forgive? He taught us how to forgive. And because Jesus forgave, we too have to learn how to forgive. Regardless of what it is, you've got to learn how to forgive. You've got to let it go. You've got to move on. I don't care what he did. I don't care what she did. I don't care what they did. Sometimes you've got to learn how to let it go and move on. Because they've moved on. They've moved on. And we have to learn how to move on. So today, go to worship today. Go to worship. And when you get to worship, make sure you worship. And make sure you see Jesus in the worship, because if you don't see Jesus in the worship, you have not worshiped. Pastor, why do you say that? You say that every week. Well, Isaiah chapter 6 says that he was at temple at the temple in worship in the year of Zidon, Isaiah chapter 6. It said, and suddenly the building vanished, and I was given this vision of God, and I saw God. And when I saw God, what he really saw was the transcended, pre-incarnated Jesus Christ, sometimes called a Christophany, and he saw an epiphany. And I know somebody said, well, Lavelle, God is spirit. How can you see him? Yeah, but you got to understand this, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But please understand, John, in the book of John, John said these things Isaiah said, he said, because he saw the glory of God. And y'all need to understand that Jesus didn't get started with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was before the beginning had ever began. All right? So make sure you see Jesus today in the worship. Y'all pray for me today. Thank you so much for lifting me up, Dee Dee and others. And I look forward to seeing y'all, hearing y'all in the morning. And then on TNT, I got to put in a plug for TNT. If you're out on TNT Bible study, you need to get on it. We study the Word of God. We have an awesome time. In the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, every last one of you. Yes.
Oh, this is Ruth. Really quick, I want to say Yolanda Adams will be joining our church next, will be performing at our church next Sunday in Sacramento. So depending on your service, your own church service, if you're in the Sacramento area, please join us next Sunday. Yolanda Adams will be joining us. Thank you. That's all.
All right. Again, Friday, y'all, Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Fairfield, the Fairfield campus, one church in two locations. My pastor, Dr. Claiborne Lee, and I look forward to y'all coming. It's from 12 to 3. It's going to be some mighty preaching, mighty preaching. My word is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Pastor LaBelle, you said it in Fresno?
No, Fairfield.
Okay, Fairfield.
Yes,
this is Sister Julia. And thank you for correcting me. I didn't write it down right. I don't know why I say chapter. I apologize for that.
That's okay, sweetie. That's okay.
Did I do a good job reading, though?
Yes, you did. You did an outstanding job reading. And I know, and I thank God for you stepping up and you doing what you do and allowing the Lord to use you. And I praise God for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm writing everything down. You said Friday. Because my family's coming into town from Seattle, Washington. They want to go out, but they church, and I got to get them somewhere.
Okay. Are you on Facebook, Sister Julia?
You can text me. I'm going to give you my phone number. Text me. Give me the address and everything. My phone number is 510-757-6959.
Okay, Sister Julia. Okay. We'll make sure you get the information. Yeah, we'll make sure you get it, okay?
Okay, thank you. You have a blessed day, and I know you're going to do good.
All right. Y'all have a blessed day,
I ain't got to worry about that. I know it's going to be a beautiful day. I know you're going to rock the house. God bless you, and keep going with God's word.
All right. Y'all have a wonderful day. I love every last one of you. Be blessed.
You too, brother. We love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Love y'all.